Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
An emerging forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Hi, this is Alan Ritter introducing another interesting episode of An Emerging Forest. And I thought that I'd switch gears this week instead of talking about thought issues, actually talking about an application of a real-life application of how I think. And so what I'm doing, and I think this has been introduced a few times, is something called the Produce Club. And what I do is I go to a regional wholesale produce market, and I buy organic produce, and I have to buy in bulk in order to buy from them. But what I receive is I receive the same produce that's in the local grocer at a drastically reduced price. And interestingly enough, they have a large conveyor belt and they sort all the produce. And some of the items have blemishes on them, or some of the items, they have 40 pallets and they have an odd lot. So they have some things and they have some conditions under which they sell for a lot less than their actual regular price. So they have a pretty good bargain for everybody who's going to the local grocery store at the first quality level that we buy in cases, but then they have another level that they actually call pickouts because they pick them out of the first supply. They also call them seconds. So there's firsts and seconds. And I started this club up in March of 2016. I had some previous experience about 2 years doing this from 2010 to 2012. And so I just started this because I was back in the area. I literally live 7 minutes from the market that I go to. So I said, hey, I'm in the right area. Let's try this out. And I advertised on some local Facebook pages in the city of Philadelphia, Vegan City Philadelphia, Vegan Food Enthusiasts, and a few other places. And one of the people who picked up on this was someone who lives out in West Philadelphia, and her name is Melanie Bartlett, and she's here tonight because something really special happened out in West Philadelphia as a result. Hey, how you doing, Melanie?
I'm great. Thank you so much for inviting me. And actually, thank you for all the things that you do for our produce club out here, because we're all enjoying the produce that you bring to us.
How did this get started for you? How did the produce club get started for you?
Well, I think I did see your original post on the Vegan Philly Facebook page. Then I just kind of followed it, but I didn't know exactly what it was, what was going on. But I did see a friend of mine, Layla, who was posting after she received her produce share, like, hey, I just got this or that, and thanks so much. It was, you know, $2 for this organic something or other. And so I knew, like, okay, this is actually happening. Like, there, someone I know is getting food for this really cheap price, and it looks great. And I posted at some point, like, okay, so how do I get in on this? Like, what do I need to know? And, of course, your information was up there in various different frequently asked question documents and such. But I think you took the time to walk me through a little bit of it. But at that time, it was, you know, a much smaller operation than it is today. It's expanded wildly. But the first thing we got, I think, was sweet potatoes, organic sweet potatoes. And I think it was, if I'm remembering right, like 5 pounds for a dollar. And so we ended up getting $3 worth of organic sweet potatoes, which 15 pounds of sweet potatoes, something ridiculous like that. And it was hard to believe. And another hard to believe thing was that you took the time to come out to, you know, you took the L and you met my husband, you know, at the L stop just for this, you know, $3 exchange. And I think you did that because you were, you know, wanting to build something. And I think you, you know, it definitely, we took it from there and we did build something, because after that experience, I knew that this would be something that West Philadelphia would be interested in, that West Philly has a lot of vegans like myself, but also just people that are interested in health food. We do have Mariposa Food Co-op in our neighborhood where you can get organic produce, but it is, you know, not cheap. And so this was an option that I knew, especially I have a small child and I'm friends with other parents with small children. And I feel like the importance of having organic food is especially present in the minds of parents that are trying to, you know, take care of their little ones. So after, I don't know, maybe a week or two where you, you know, brought things out to 52nd Street L stop, we worked out, you know what, I bet I know some people in my neighborhood and we could be a little bit more efficient with how we're doing this. And that's when you delivered, I don't know, 5 cases of organic produce for us one night. That was the first time that I met you, which was in the middle of the night. and, you know, from there, it was actually pretty straightforward. I think I texted some friends like, oh, there's this great deal. You can get some cheap produce. It's kind of like a surprise. What, you don't know what you're going to get, but as long as you're kind of flexible with, you know, what food you get, it'll be a great value. My friends probably were like, okay, well, let's see. But they were willing to take the risk because I think we knew it wasn't going to be more than a few dollars. And so then when I got the delivery, I just split it up between, I don't know how many friends, maybe it was like 5 or 6 friends at that time. And I just sorted it out and everyone got an even share. We all got, you know, the same produce and it was charged the same price. And I brought some across the street to my friends and then had other people picked it up off my porch. And we had made our payments to you via PayPal. So it was very streamlined that way. I don't know, in the beginning, and maybe you remember more, I was trying to remember if those first, probably that first delivery, did people pay after the fact? I don't remember, but now they pay a deposit, $20 up front, and then after that,
yeah, everybody basically, I think you and Melissa had a deposit in like the second week of March, and you were the one like 2 weeks later getting like a $3 order, which was the sweet potatoes. And then like a $3.25 order. And then the following week, there were like 8 people who were turned on. And there was something like a $9 order. I can't remember exactly what the details were of what comprised that order, but basically it went from like maybe you on 319 of last year and you the following week, and then all of a sudden there was a block of 8 people receiving items, and that would have been the first night that you and I met at an awkward hour in the morning.
Yes. And the trick was with where you go at the middle of the night in order to get the best deals. Is that correct? That's why you're going in the middle.
The place that I shop at gathers all of its seconds together at one particular time. They have several nights. They don't just offload their seconds on one night, but the night that I go on, which is Tuesday, Monday night, Tuesday morning, is the night when they offload the most of it's the most populated seconds night, because the wholesaler receives produce on Saturday and Sunday and is sorting it at the same time. So when the bosses come in on Monday and all the supervisors come in, they make decisions on, okay, here's this old stock, where does it go? Here's these items that just came in, where do they go? How do they get priced? And so the heaviest night of seconds is Monday night, Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that those first few weeks, or actually the first, month or so, we were meeting in the middle of the night to load in the produce, especially from my house where we have raccoons visit us. We had to make sure that the produce came inside at night when you delivered it. And we had another host who was meeting you in the nighttime. But then ultimately, I think an important evolution was that you would just drop the boxes on people's porches who don't have raccoons, which apparently I'm the only one with that drama.
You have some residents in your home who don't like to leave the security of your crawl space, and they're very happy to get served on your front porch.
Right. So, unfortunately, they're not paying members of the West Philly Produce Club, so we have to, rein that in. By having locations where you could just drop it off in the middle of the night, and then in the morning when the host would wake up and sort the produce and leave it on their porch, that enabled other people to be hosts, which is one of the sort of key responsibilities of making this club happen. We rotate who hosts so that nobody gets burnt out, but also because the host gets a free share. All of the other members collectively pay for the host share. And so there are some people who that's a nice incentive as well, that their produce is absolutely free. So we rotate that way because then, different people might want that benefit as well. Not to mention, I think that there's at least one family that maybe they don't have a car, and it's easier for them to host than to go to get the produce from somewhere else. So lots of different reasons why people like hosting. Also, just there's a social aspect of meeting your neighbors as well. In the beginning days, we had the one location, and we've now expanded, so we have two different hosts that at any given week, and then we were trying to rotate them every 3 weeks, which is a little bit more logistics because then people have to remember where they are going to pick up their produce, and it shifts around sometimes. But I think that that it's a nice option that if you are hosting, you're not in it forever, and you're like, we don't want anyone to feel like, well, if I stopped hosting, then the club would, have a big problem. It's like, it's flexible that way.
It was interesting when it was just the one host, and both you and I, and also your other club members, were trying to figure out what the sweet spot was for, you know, oh, you know, it's getting up toward this number, should we split into two? Because it was a completely novel experience. It wasn't as if we had a guide for, oh, should, you know, what do we do next? Should we split into two, or what should we do, right?
Yeah. And we might be approaching where we'll need a third spot sometime soon. I think right now we have 17, this past week we had 17 people at each drop spot. And I think if it gets up to 20 and 20, then we might start thinking about a third drop spot. And I think, you know, that will be close. People are always referring their friends. Once a new person comes in, then they'll tell their friend, and, you know, it's...
Right. I was actually looking at that, and with the new membership, I think we're probably going to be up to 19 and 19.
Oh, yeah, maybe this week, because, yeah, we definitely got a couple new folks. Plus, we always have – so one of the nice options about the Produce Club that I know people appreciate is that we are flexible enough where if someone goes on vacation or they, you know, something happens in their life, they can take a week or two off and then come back. So that there's some fluidity in that as well. So there's always people who are in the club that might be off a week or so even when I said, oh, we had 17 and 17, we have more people in the club than that. It's just that was that particular week, how many people were actually getting the produce. Yeah, it's, I feel like it's always growing, and that feels good. And that, also that people know that they're not, you know, they're basically flexibility and they're not trapped into anything. And they know that, you know, if it's not working, then that's okay. And they can take a break.
Yeah, that's an interesting feature that I've always, when I've been associated with CSAs, it's sort of a pay up front, semi-rigid contract where you're going to get a box of produce every single week. And if you go away or you want to do something else, you have to find a friend to go get it, or you're basically receiving something that you paid for, but you don't really want it. You kind of want to say, hey, can I get my money back for this week? So that was one of the things that I just said, hey, you know, everybody's given me money this week to go shop. So what if one person drops out and just doesn't give me their money? I just don't shop for them. So why not be able to be totally flexible and do it that way?
Yeah, people definitely appreciate that. And from the organizing point of view, it's a little bit more complicated for me so we have a Facebook group and we also have an email list. We have a Google email list, and each Monday I try to send an email saying, okay, these are the people that I think are getting a share this week. Let me know if this is right. And people throughout the week might say, oh, I'm on this week, or, oh, I'm taking a week off. And so then I send this email to kind of confirm both for the hosts, like this is how many people, and these are the names of the people that are getting the share, but also it's sort of like a last minute chance for someone to be like, oh, hey, don't you remember I'm away this week, or, oh, yeah, like I just put in my money, I want to get in this week. But there's a little bit of organizing, but I think it's worth it.
Yeah, it's also a heads up to me as to what the final count is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it's an important logistical step, and hopefully people are okay with getting that email each day. We don't have a ton of you know, email correspondence, but we'll send a message on the Monday afternoon, and then on Tuesday morning when the shares have arrived and the hosts have sorted them and they're ready for pickup, the host will email the list to say, okay, this is the address, it's ready to go, come pick them up. And if there's anything like, oh, bring extra bags, or this is what we're getting this week, they might include that in the message. But it's so there's three or four emails that come standard throughout the week. Also, there's a reminder email about people whose balances are low, which is also an important feature. And we have a different volunteer who does that, which is nice. That's our sort of email system. And I think it's been working pretty well. We originally just had a Facebook group. It's a private Facebook group. But then we started getting members who were not on Facebook, and we needed to make sure that there was we could be inclusive of a non-Facebook world as well. So then we switched to everyone has email, so we use email for the sort of primary communication, and then we use the Facebook group more for polls or surveys, a lot of recipe sharing. Everyone has the same produce. So if we get a, you know, okay, we have 6 red peppers. What's your best red pepper recipe? We'll post on there, or pictures when we're excited about something we made. And also we post pictures
some,
of our share.
I saw some interesting charred recipes last week.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to be able to share those tips with our friends. And also kind of, you know, people like to post pictures of what they're eating anyway on Facebook, so at least this way it can be inspiration to people that have the same, they have the same food anyway. Like for a while we were getting a lot of organic oranges, and I was making orange juice, which is amazing to me to even have the possibility. You're like, oh yeah, if I squeezed my own fresh organic orange juice, was a luxury I did not have before Produce Club. But someone posted that they had made marmalade in their Instant Pot, and someone else posted that they made a vegan orange upside down cake. And it's just like, wow, like I wouldn't have thought of making either of those things. I'm like, maybe one day when the oranges come back, that's what I'll try doing, you know? So, and it's fun that way. And also in the beginning, we did some polls around what our favorite foods were, what kinds of foods we would want to get from Produce Club to kind of give you a sense of that.
Right.
And basically we like produce of all types, but through that process, we discovered how important it was for organic versus not organic, because you have both options available in it. We ended up saying we prefer organic, but we're okay with good deals that are not organic as well, as long as it's not like the dirty dozen.
That was a really key evolution, because some weeks that I go to the market, I am limited in what organics are there, and my markets exterior to West Philly, of course, have a strong preference against it. They're actually becoming a little bit more flexible now that I have more folks exterior to West Philadelphia. But they've always been there's always this, you know, oh, I won't eat that. Well, will you eat it if it's this price? And they kind of change their tune when they see how cheap it is. But in general, we had in general, the club had a really good run of a whole bunch of weeks up until including now, where I haven't had to fall back on conventional produce, and everything has been organic, which is really awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Sometimes we're not even – so that's as an aside, you should let us know, because sometimes we can't tell which is organic or which is not. If it doesn't have – a lot of times they come with the stickers, you know, a roll of stickers in the box, but if you are not the host, you might not know which things are organic or which are not. But, we've had people in the club who were medically fragile, I guess, and were wanting specifically organic, and so we used to have to sort of specify, like, okay, this is the organic thing and this is not, but I think they are now we're not in the habit as much as pointing it out, but certain things I know, like we just recently got organic grapes, and that was very exciting. This is one of my sort of favorite victory stories of like how amazing the Produce Club was. I just was at, okay, don't judge, but I was at the Walmart and I saw a container of organic grapes, the same exact grapes that we just got from Produce Club, and they were on sale for $6. And it was $5.98. And I know that the share that we just got, we were charged $6.11. And we got 2 of those grape containers, 6 red peppers, and a container of organic lettuce greens, all for the same price as what they were selling 1 container of grapes for. So I was feeling pretty good about Produce Club at that point, you know. And that's the that's the kind of thing that I would post on the Facebook group to be like, hey guys, look at what a, you know, amazing deal this is. In case you haven't been following the pricing of grapes.
Something very similar happened on the main Facebook page for the Produce Club, where someone who was picked up from me later in the evening that same day was shopping at BJ's, and she saw the same grapes priced for $6.99 a pound.
My nominal
price on those grapes was $2 a pound that week. So I was semi, but not really shocked at the markup. And this wasn't a different pack. This was not a different package of grapes. This was exactly the same brand and exactly the same item that I was selling. It was the same exact item, so to speak.
Well, I think that the grocery stores near us, a lot of what they're selling us is, you know, the seconds quality anyway, or like that we get better stuff from you directly than what is at the grocery store. I know that the grocery stores in our neighborhood are not getting the first quality things in here anyway. So I'm feeling very, and also don't sell organic. So we feel extra good about that, with the exception, of course, of Mariposa. Mariposa does get the organic in the first. And then you are paying for that. So it's definitely made a financial impact and increased the amount of organic food in me. And I think all of the members of the sort of club are accessing now.
I was interested
to know how do you know all the people at the market now? Like over the course of this year, like do they know you, or is it just so many people that come and go in there? Like you have built connections with these folks, or is it just different workers? And
there's the one person I've used the same contact at the night market. The guy that I use at the night market hasn't changed from when I had the business before in 2010 to 2012. So I still use the same guy.
Okay.
But as a result of the NJ Penn article and a little bit more ordering on my part, I do get a good deal more, I would say, grudging respect from the folks at the market.
Right.
So I think this is a really good point to break. So I'd like to introduce the song, and Melanie and I will be back on the other side of the break. The name of the song is the song is by Darv the Bard, and it's Green and Gray. See you on the other side of the break. Thank you.
around the 1st of May. A man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day. High from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil, I'm far.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to an emerging forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Hi, I hope everybody had a good break, and now I'm back here with Melanie. And Melanie and I were talking over the break about pricing. And so, Melanie, you want to pick up the story about organic food prices in your area?
Yes. So we were talking about whether my area is considered a food desert or not, which I was looking up a little bit about the definition of that. For the city, that would mean not having a grocery store within a mile of where you live. And in our area, we do have we have a specialty grocery store, Mariposa Co-op, which is a worker-owned and shopper-owned co-op. And, you know, it has produce there, but it is not affordable enough to for us, my family, we weren't produce regularly from there because it was so expensive, specifically organic food. And then we have the regular grocery store, which is further away, but, you know, and that doesn't carry the organic food. And so the Produce Club really filled in a different option for us where all of a sudden we could actually afford to get organic food. So before we would go to the regular grocery store and actually we would buy produce from like they would have a produce truck outside of the regular grocery store where you could buy bags of food for, you know, out from, they had been sitting out on the street all day. And I'm sure it's this, you know, the same produce that they're selling at an Italian market and whatever, which ultimately came from the same place that Alan is getting his produce from, except that his produce is organic and we're getting it direct from him as soon as it comes. You know, it hasn't been sitting outside all day, you know, or for days as when the food trucks are trying to sell it. So the quality that we get from Alan is actually better than what we would get from the what we call the regular grocery store and much cheaper than what we would be getting at Mariposa. What it's interesting to me, though, that actually, you know, and we still go to Mariposa for our sort of special vegan cheese and our vegan yogurt from there. And, you know, I'm very grateful for it as a resource in our neighborhood. But the Produce Club is just a lot more financially in reach for my family and also for my friends. Like, that's why when I heard about it, I knew that people would be interested because it's just not, you know, for us, it's just less than affordable to then be able to buy all of our produce organic. And so a big shift for my family is now the majority of the produce that we have in our house is organic, which was just definitely not the case before. So that feels really good. Also, as I said, I have a small child, and it just feels good to know that she's getting, you know, what I consider to be the safest food and also the environmental impact of not having the pesticides. And also there's environmental impact of just being willing to buy seconds or imperfect or blemished produce, because otherwise that would be wasted if people were, you know, wanting to take a look at that as an option. And I know that it's not just me that has shifted the way that we eat because of the Produce Club. I was talking to a member of the Produce Club yesterday, and we were talking about how it's also kind of this fun thing that every Tuesday it's like you get a little surprise. It's sort of like, you know, everyone likes to get a package in the mail. It's sort of like, oh, we're getting a package in the mail. It's a surprise, and we don't know what it's going to be, but it's something fun that we're going to get to cook. And so it's like this, nice little present that we get every Tuesday morning, and then we get to sort of shape our meals around that. Also, because it is community-oriented, it feels nice that we have time with our neighbors that way, where right now the host that I go to lives right across the street from me. So in the morning, if I'm up and she hasn't, had a chance to sort the food, I'll just go over there and help sort the food like on her porch, and she'll come out and she's getting ready for her kids ready for school, and I'll be like, oh, it's fine, let me just fix stuff. And then I take a share for myself, and then I take a share to my child's daycare. They're a member, and so I feel good that my daughter's daycare, they take the food that they get from Produce Club and then have that as the snacks that they give to the kids. So when we get, in the summertime, we had this option for organic watermelon. And I could be like, the home daycare was posting like, yeah, we're having this snack of like organic watermelon. And I was just like, wow, this is so amazing because, most daycares are not giving organic fruit to the kids. Like that's really, it's kind of like a luxury that we would be able to even have that as an option. And actually that particular case of the watermelon was also a local organic watermelon. So I believe.
Yeah. You were bringing that up during the break. And that was interesting that you reminded me that we had done that. I had actually contacted, now that we're deep in winter, I kind of forget what happened in the summer, but
right.
We certainly had a cooperative deal with some local farmers who are right in the South Jersey area and who actually have a farmer's market where I used to go pick up their local produce every week. So there was an option in both the part of the Produce Club that I'm in, I call it like the New Jersey side, and then also I would pick up on a Saturday and then take that over if the parties in the members in West Philly ordered this added option, they would get a share and then an added option. And that, I believe one week was watermelons, and then there were some green beans, and then certainly there were a couple of weeks of tomatoes.
Amazing tomatoes.
Tomatoes that actually taste sweet, which is amazing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's something I think we could revisit again in the summer. I think for West Philly, we had said, okay, well, we know that. So one thing we didn't talk about is that West Philly, when we decided on, the survey, we did some surveys of, well, what do we want to do in this club? One of the things was we sort of set a dollar amount of, and where we are now, it's around $7. So we tell people, okay, figure that you're going to spend about $7 a week on your produce share. And a lot of times it'll be less than that. It might be a little bit more if something, is really great at the market, but it's sort of like the budgeting guide. And I think in the summertime we said, okay, of our $7, spend $2 with the local farmer per share. And then, the rest of it could be with the market at the port. And that way we also felt good about supporting the local farmer, like a traditional CSA kind of option, but not all of it, because we still wanted that, like the deep discounts that we get from the seconds market as well.
Right, because
that actual option,
you were quote-unquote getting seconds, which are at an incredibly cheap price. And farmers could never compete with that. But you were choosing to say, hey, we want to support local farmers. What can we get for this price? And I think one of the options that we actually wound up doing was saying, okay, there's going to be a second share, and that's going to be approximately this amount. But if you want local produce, you're going to have to add it on. So it's going to be an additional tack on of whatever the charge was. Because at one point I thought there was some people were saying, hey, we're not getting as much value as we used to, so let's like switch it up and do the same value share, and then if people want to tack on the local farm stuff, they're going to get charged a couple bucks additional.
Yeah, there are lots of different options and like ways that it could work out to meet the needs of which, you know, whatever club you've got going on. I know there in the summertime we also would do, you would say, okay, the farmer could do this thing or that thing or the next thing, and then we would kind of take a poll on the Facebook group and say, okay, the most people seem like they want the yellow tomatoes or, you know, different depending on what was available and then what the pricing was and what people's favorite foods were. I guess the trick with the summer farmers also was that a lot of our West Philly folks also have gardens of their own. So some of them were like, oh, we don't need more tomatoes because I've already grown a whole bunch of tomatoes, whereas I didn't have success when those in my garden. So I'm like, bring on the tomatoes. But none of us are, you know, growing oranges like we would get from the big market.
Right, exactly.
And there's like pros of like reasons why we want to support local farmers, but then there was also like, well, those people are growing. If you're a serious gardener, then you might be growing some of the same things that the farmers were. But I think overall,
We were also getting some redundancy where they would say, well, we have tomatoes this week. And then we would go back and say, well, what do you have? And they say, well, we have tomatoes.
Right.
So it was the group was basically saying, well, if I could get five or six oranges for the price of, you know, one or two tomatoes, I'd rather have the oranges because I don't see the citrus a lot, but I certainly have a garden out back with lots of tomatoes.
Right. But I think overall it's like a good experience and also, you know, something that, again, West Philly was happy with that as an option. We definitely were. But we also like our bargains as well. So I think for us, diversity is the key. And we like, with any of our produce, we like the, you know, we wouldn't get the same thing every week, and that was something that was good for us. But also, we could communicate with you, and you're very responsive. Of like, okay, we've had enough, you know, yellow squash for a minute. Like, take a break from that, and then people would be like, okay, we can, you know, after a couple of weeks, we're ready for it again. That's good.
Right. Exactly.
So one of the things that I go ahead.
No, I've just. You got it. Go ahead.
One of the things that I appreciated also was that it with Produce Club, it makes you mix up a little bit of your routine, where if you get your food on Tuesday, maybe you get something that you haven't cooked with before, even something that's pretty mainstream. Like for me, it was grapefruit. Like I never, growing up, my family, we had, you know, very – like, you know, bananas, and we would have, like, a salad would be iceberg lettuce with, like, croutons and cheese on it. Like, that would be what we call the salad. Or, like, you know, so you grow up in these patterns of the food that your parents gave you, and that's what you know. And so I think my parents must not have liked grapefruit. I never had a grapefruit. And then one week we got a bunch of grapefruits in our share, and so I had to, like, kind of sheepishly post on this page, like, okay, people, I've never had grapefruit before. What's the... you know, what should I do with this? And they're like, cut it up, put sugar on it. And I'm like, okay, here we go. But, you know, it's, everyone has like their sort of adventures, and it you know, it kind of encourages us to take a risk with the food that we maybe haven't had before. One week we had these like little miniature bananas. I don't know if there's a special name for those miniature bananas.
Those
and then
the
other week
baby,
we had
the baby bananas. Yeah.
Yes, that was very fun. My daughter loved eating the baby bananas. We also had the plantains, a certain kind of plantains. We had, I don't even know how to say it, the chayote squash or?
Yeah, chayotes, yeah.
Yeah, so, which I had had those before, but I think a lot of my members might not have. And so that was really fun to get to share, like, okay, this is what this is, and this is how, you know, you peel it, and there's a pit, and, like, this is what you do with it. But at the same time, sometimes people's criticism of a CSA might be that they get too much stuff that they're not familiar with. And I feel like we have a pretty good balance with Produce Club where it's not, like, way out there all the time, and it's not like repeating, like, you know, it's not an unreasonable amount. We can rise to the challenge, especially with the ability to share ideas with each other. So that's been pretty good. And yeah, one of the people I was talking about said that that's because they like to cook, that's what works. And you know, if you don't really like produce or you don't like to cook, it might not be, you know, the club for you. but there are plenty of people who do, and most people do eat food. So,
you can look at the membership as a gauge of people finding us and saying, "Wait a minute, you're doing what?"
Yeah.
or getting their first share and saying, "You're selling how much for what price?"
Yeah. I think that somebody was like, wait, so is that the price for one of, I forget what it was, like for one of the cases of, you know, one box of salad? Or it's like, no, that's the price for your whole share. And they were like, what? Oh, okay. One of the people in the club, I know, she was telling me that before Produce Club, her and her husband weren't eating fruit. They just, any of the fruit they bought, they just gave to their son because they wanted him to be able to have fruit, but they just couldn't afford it. And so I feel like they were like, wow, we're eating fruit again. Like, this is amazing. Like, yeah, should be eating fruit. Everyone should be able to eat the fruit. In the same way that we have some neighborhood kids who come over, and I think they are definitely impacted by hunger and being low income and their families just not having fresh fruit in their house at all. And they come over and they're always like, oh, can we have an orange? Can we have like this piece of fruit? And they love to eat healthy, and it's just, and they know that what eating healthy is, but I think they just don't have it in their house. I feel really good about, you know, being able to give them the oranges, and they're like, yes, go for it. Here, have another orange. And like, now they'll come over and I'll give them an apple to like take home. And I can feel good about that. In fact, sometimes we'll have, either someone will forget to share, or it will be some kind of situation where we have extra produce. Cause we'll have a box, that's like, you can take some or leave some, like maybe someone has an allergy or they just know they're not going to be able to eat this or whatever it is. So they'll leave it in the box for someone else to take. And so sometimes at the end of the day, the host will have extra food. And we've been able to give that to different neighbors that we know could benefit from having that food, which has been another way that we know that not only are we getting affordable produce, but we've been able to pass that on to our neighbors. And also sometimes, Alan, you've done that by, you know, if we had an uneven number of shares, like maybe there are 17 people at one drop spot and 16 at the other, then you said, okay, give the extra share to somebody in your neighborhood. And that is a way both to do outreach about the club, but also to get people food who just need it. I mentioned the daycare that my child goes to. There's also another daycare for another parent sent their child to, and they have sent extra produce that was left over to that daycare as well. So lots of kids are eating healthy thanks to the club. I was speaking with another member today about her story. She's been through a lot in her life and has chronic health problems and some trauma that has infected her digestion, and she's gluten free, and she's at various times been vegan, but you know, just has a lot of food issues going on. And part of that was not being able to really properly shop for her food, but then preparing it. And she was just saying how having the ease of just knowing that there was food coming on this day and that that was going to be healthy food that they could kind of plan around, and giving them that structure has been really valuable for her to just be able to take care of herself in this way that she can feel good about having that healthy food, and also financially the financial pressure of being able to have healthy food and then knowing that this was a resource that was coming for them. So she was saying she just hopes that it, she's, her co-host, she hopes that it stays forever. She loves the Produce Club and she just hopes it stays forever. Like, okay, well, I think it's here, you know, as long as Alan is here for us, you know, it's that West Philly is appreciating it and there's lots of interest and support. And also in our club, so our club is made up of a lot of families, I think, because that was who I sort of started it with, was telling my friends that have kids. And also I had posted about it. Eventually I posted on a neighborhood trot lot email list. It's like an email list for parents with small children. And also another member had posted on her daycare's email list. We also, because my husband's an immigrant, we're well represented with immigrants as well on this, in our group, which also feels good to me. Having affordable food across lots of spectrums of folks who need it.
One of the things that we just actually started just this last Tuesday was we've been talking about sharing seconds and me dropping seconds off in the middle of the night. But just a little bit later that day, I also go shop for First Produce. And it's been a little while in development, but a representative from West Philly actually met us at the market last week and split a bunch of cases of First Produce. And it's not going to happen every week. It's going to happen every other week. But that's also going to start filtering into the food baskets of interested members. Not everyone is ordering firsts because they are more pricey, but a reasonable number of people are ordering firsts. Do you want to talk to that for a second?
Yeah, well, I definitely took advantage of ordering first this week, and I think, it was great. When you go, it was a Google sheet, and you don't necessarily know if your items are going to be ordered, because what it is, so you see, okay, I know I want blueberries, but there are, I don't know, 50 containers of blueberries in this case. So I want to sign up for 3, you know, containers of blueberries, and then you need other members to sign up to buy all the rest of the blueberries. And then will only be purchased if the case is purchased, because that many people have signed up for it. So it was a little bit of like, well, I hope people will sign up. And they did. Like I got like a regular grocery store load of, like, I got carrots, I got avocados, which I make guacamole for watching the Super Bowl. So I'm like, I got blueberries, I got pineapple, I got kale, which I feel like I was pushing myself to get some kale. Got all sorts of things. And I think it's just a new adventure for West Philly to figure out how it works for us. I think that, you know, the first time looking on the sheet for first there, it's like, okay, well, what is this? How does it work? But I think once you go through and do it one time, then you understand it and it's not so intimidating anymore. So I feel like that's definitely a way that we could move in the future. It helps that host sort through all the food, and it's a little bit tricky, and I'm sure tricky for you, of tracking how much, you know, each person gets charged. So we might want to think about how to streamline, you know, that whole process. But I think it's definitely like a wave of the future for us as well. And, you know, there's definitely some convenience around, like, you just order the stuff and it's there. And also, it feels nice to be doing that with neighbors and friends, and that together we are finding ways to have a healthy and affordable food for ourselves in our community.
Yeah, that's a really awesome note to end the program on, and I totally agree, and that's why I'm doing the Produce Club. I do make a little bit of money, but basically putting this resource with people who can use it and winning price-wise and availability-wise for all of my members, and then winning a little bit for myself is what this is all about. If anybody wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Well, I'm on Twitter, I'm Reclaim Philly, and then I'm on Facebook, Melanie Bartlett in Philadelphia, so you should probably be able to find me that way as well. I'd be happy to talk to anyone about it. And thank you so much, Alan, because it's really been excellent.
And I'm Alan Ritter, and my email address is RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. And I'm also on my club is basically accessible by, if you're in the area, if you're in the Philadelphia area, at produceclub.us. And if you go to www.facebook.com, produceclubs-americas is the page to look for outside of the Philadelphia area to get general experience information. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening to the show, and have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.